You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. It seems that every time we discuss the NL West, it really comes down to the Dodgers and the Giants. And the Dodgers seem to be pulling away from things a little bit. Not so much because they're just humming along with no issues, but because the Giants always seem to have more issues. Let's bring in Ken Gernick, our MLB.com writer who covers the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Ken, I asked you about the rotation. Pretty much, I think we discuss that every week because it seems to be the key to whether the Dodgers are doing well or whether they're struggling a little bit. Lately, I mean, they've had a lot of challenges, but of course they have Kershaw and Greinke at the top, so, you know, how bad can things be? But the latest is that Ryu may have to miss a little bit of time. Let's just assume that he has to miss a couple starts or maybe go on the DL. Is that really worrisome for a Dodgers team that seems to be really clicking on all cylinders right at this point?
Well, not if Kevin Correa pitches the way he did in his debut. So, you know, they really bolstered their rotation and their depth when they got Correa and Roberto Hernandez in trades over the last 10 days. So they feel that they're... you know, as long as one of their top guys doesn't go down for an extended period, they feel like they've kind of protected themselves. And Hernandez is in the rotation, taking Josh Beckett's spot because he doesn't figure to return this year. And Correa was obtained to be the swing man to replace Paul Mahalan, and he's already been more than a swing man. He's been a starter, and with Ryu maybe missing a start or two, he might be back in the rotation. So, as long as they don't lose anybody else, they do have some problems in the bullpen now. Without Correa being in the bullpen, they're shorthanded a little bit because Paco Rodriguez, Chris Perez, they're both disabled. So it's kind of a shell game, and if they have really one more injury, they're going to be down again. But they've made some real good moves in acquiring Hernandez and Correa for depth, and it's already come in handy.
Well, they have to feel pretty good coming off of winning 3 of 4 from the Braves in Atlanta and moving to the 5.5 games ahead of the Giants. It obviously does take a little bit of help from everybody. And you brought up the bullpen, which has been interesting because the 7th and 8th innings are kind of a committee-type situation. And usually when you don't have things that are really set in stone, a lot can happen. You know, people want bullpen by committee, they want closer by committee, and that rarely, really works. But in this situation, with those key innings leading up to the 9th, it seems like everybody has just been kind of pitching in, and you don't hear anybody really grumbling about not knowing my role. I've always loved, through the years of covering baseball, I've always loved hearing that, because not knowing my role, when guys start complaining about that, it means like they've basically failed in the role that they were given, and now the role has been given to someone else. They don't have that role anymore. But really, I mean, looking at the bullpen, it seems like they're getting it done, even if they don't have assigned positions for these guys. What do you make of those late innings in the bullpen?
Well, you know, it would probably surprise people who aren't following that closely, but the key relievers to get to Kenley Howell, the closer, who's been very good, have been by J.P. Howell and Jamie Wright, who's almost 40 years old, but he's really stepped up in the last couple of weeks. While Brian Wilson has been kind of erratic in and out, and as I mentioned, Perez is on the disabled list, Paco Rodriguez is on the disabled list, and Brandon League actually has had a bounce-back season after really having a tough year last year. You know, I think you got to give Don Mattingly and Rick Honeycutt some credit for kind of moving the pieces around, because he said they really haven't pitched well enough to establish a reliable role. So they've kind of been going with the hot hand and moving things around. And, of course, when you're getting 7 and 8 innings from Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke and even Ryu on some occasions, it really helps take the load off the bullpen.
What is with Jamie Wright? He's been in the big leagues 19 years. Like you said, he's almost 40 years old. He's having a career year. What is it, something that he's been working with the pitching coach? I mean, at this point in his career, you think that he is what he is, and he's had, obviously, a nice long career, but he has really just exploded. Have you noticed anything from him?
Well, I think you mentioned roles, and here you have a veteran who's kind of done everything, and the only role he wants is to, like, get a World Series ring put on his finger. That's, like, the only thing he really wants. And so in order to achieve that, he's willing to do whatever they ask him to do. And sometimes earlier in the year that was mop-up, long relief. But as he's been successful, and I think, you know, he's one of these guys who doesn't care what his role is, so he doesn't let that bother him. He just goes pitch to pitch and tries to get this guy out. And it's allowed him to be more successful, and the more successful he's been, the more pressure roles they've been giving him. And he's pitched just as well in the seventh and eighth inning as he did in the fourth and fifth when he would be used early in long relief. So, you know, I think it's just that experience. You hear that maybe from young guys a lot. I don't know what my role is. You don't hear any excuses from Jamie Wright. He's just a quality guy and a solid bullpen piece and a leader in that bullpen and a guy that the young guys kind of lean on a lot.
Yeah, I don't think that you can underestimate at all the factor of having a possible World Series championship in your future. That tends to bring out the best in people. And while you would think that, you know, when you play a baseball game, it doesn't matter if you're in last place or first, that you're going to have the same intensity. But I do think that there's something to that, that you can kind of rise to the occasion when you have your eyes on something that huge, especially for a guy that's been in the big leagues for so long. You want the taste of that. And you never know. He might get it. Let's move over to kind of the outfield. Carl Crawford's going to be getting some playing time more than Ethier. I've been reading a little bit about that. Neither one has been really, you know, justifying, I guess, a lot of playing time, but Mattingly has pretty much said that Crawford's going to get a lot of playing time. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I think without bashing Ethier, I think Mattingly just felt that Crawford has more baseball in him right now than Ethier has. He gave Crawford the job basically when he came back. He was gone for 6 weeks with a bad ankle, but when he returned, Mattingly gave him the left field job. It settled the outfield around because he moved Puig into center and put Kemp into right. And Crawford is coming off a really good road trip. He got really hot on the trip and raised his average about 20 points. So it's all worked out. You've got Kemp, who, even though he said earlier in the year he wants to be a center fielder, he looks real comfortable defensively in right field. And Puig, with his speed and just kind of relentless aggressiveness, as he showed again yesterday, taking away extra bases, crashing into the wall. You know, he plays with abandon out there. And they just feel that both offensively and defensively, this is their best setup. Against left-handed pitching, they let Scott Van Slyke play left field because he is pretty lethal as a right-handed hitter against left-handers, and they give Crawford a little time off. But Ethier is now the guy in the bench. He's basically the fifth outfielder and left-handed pinch hitter. And he's been willing to accept that. He's not happy about it, but he sees his numbers, and he really couldn't justify complaining about it. So I think it took about 4 months, but Kershaw said, Donnie finally got it right, you know, and it's now working. This outfield arrangement is now, it looks like the one they'll keep if everybody stays healthy right on through to the playoffs.
So the Dodgers have done similar things from last season and this season, starting off slowly, really, really slowly, and then picking it up, and all of a sudden, you know, you look up at the standings and there they are in first place. When you look, comparatively speaking, just from last year's club, and I know this really is like a terribly fair question considering, you know, we still haven't seen the season play out to the end, but just looking at these two clubs, I mean, is there a club that was stronger? Do you feel like it's basically the same team? You know, how do you see this team as far as, you know, will they be able to go maybe as far into October as they did last year?
Well, it looks like offensively they're better, but the caveat there is Hanley Ramirez. You know, what are you going to get from Hanley Ramirez? He's been hurt most of the year. He's played through it. He's now on the disabled list with an oblique injury that they say is not as serious as most obliques. But, you know, Hanley can be one of the most feared hitters in the game. But he's got to be healthy. And he's tried to play hurt most of this year because it is his free agency year. And he wants to show that he's durable and he can play. And yet, because of playing at less than 100%, he hasn't been that productive. But he's got a lot of bats around him in the lineup, so the Dodgers have been able to win in spite of this. So I think part of what happens to them in the postseason, and we saw what happened in the postseason last year. He got hit in that first game in St. Louis. He broke a rib. He tried to play with it. He was unable to play with it, and they kind of folded. So I think a lot, unfortunately, and you hate to see a team with this many stars and then say, well, it's really going to be on that guy. But I think offensively it very often is on that guy, Hanley Ramirez. So, you know, if you could tell me that he's going to be healthy and producing for the rest of the year, then I'll tell you that they've got a better team than they had in the postseason last year. But if he winds up getting hurt again or staying hurt, then they could be facing the same disappointment, I think.
Well, we will keep our eye on it, and as usual, that division race in the NL West is going to be one of the most exciting ones, probably coming down to the very wire. So thank you, Ken Gernick, and we will be checking in with you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.